with confidence in the authority and sufficiency of the Word of God, here's the Emmanuel Pulpit and Pastor Mike Stone.
Let me invite you to take your Bible and be turning to the Old Testament book of Proverbs. I want to call your attention to Proverbs chapter 12. It is our recent custom to take the first Sunday of every month and introduce a brand new church-wide month-long memory verse. But occasionally, because of the way the calendar falls, such as today on June the 30th, it's easier and better for us to take the last Sunday of the month and introduce the new month-long memory verse. And I promise you, when you see what we're talking about today, you're going to need the extra 7 days to get a jump start on this one. But it's not because the verse is going to be hard to memorize. In fact, it's probably one of the easier verses we've tried to commit to memory. But it is one of the more difficult verses to put into practice. Because from Proverbs chapter 12, verse 22, I want to challenge you today, just tell the truth. Just tell the truth. A man calls in sick, but later that morning his boss passes his truck in front of the bait and tackle store and his bass boat is hooked up to the truck. A man on a business trip calls home. He tells his wife, "I'm so tired, I'm going to turn in early." He puts down the phone and purchases a pay-per-view movie that violates his marriage vow. A wife is extremely secretive with her phone, though she swears up and down those text messages and all the Instagram messages. They're from a guy who's just a friend. The teenage boy tells his mama he's done all of his homework and he can go next door to play ball with the neighbor. "Are you sure you've done all your work?" "Yes, mama, I've done it all." And only the next day, the school teacher calls. The boy has not turned in his homework again. The teenage girl tells her mom she's going straight to a friend's house, but the Life 360 app on her phone with its GPS capability tells mama an entirely different story. Each of these scenarios and multiplied millions just like them have occurred because we have a tendency. Listen, every one of us has a tendency to violate the ninth commandment against bearing false witness, against lying. And so Solomon is moved by the Spirit of God to tell us, as the people of God, we ought to just tell the truth. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 22 puts it like this: "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are His delight." I want to invite you to stand together in honor and reverence of the reading of God's perfect Word. And from the New King James translation on the screen, let's read this together. "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are His delight." Proverbs 12, 22. Just this morning, our daughter Sarah came into the bathroom. She had made herself some cold coffee, and she had washed out a plastic Starbucks cup, and she said, "Look, I'm going to go to my class, and I'm going to fool all my friends, make them think I've been to Starbucks this morning." Now, even though she was just teasing, let me be clear, she was just teasing, and she was just going to be teasing with her classmates. Matthew, our six-year-old, had already been trying to learn this verse. So when one of them said, "I'm going to pull a fast one on my class," he said, "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord." Just tell the truth. That's a challenge for us today as we take our seats this morning. Sir, you and your wife agreed you would not put anything unnecessary on the visa bill, but you charge something again anyway. When she asks you about it, you know what you ought to do, and you ought to do it today. You ought to go ahead and decide, "I'm just going to tell the truth." Why? Because lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are His delight. Ma'am, you and your husband agreed to cancel your Netflix subscription. It's one of the easiest ways you can tighten up the budget and save a little money, but you got your phone app out and signed up again anyway so that you could binge this coming holiday weekend. Go ahead and decide right now. You've already done wrong, and when he asks you about it, just go ahead and decide right now you're going to tell the truth. Pastor, why should I tell the truth? Because lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are His delight. Students, your dad told you be careful with his car, and you know exactly how that ding got in the back tire well. Go ahead and decide right now, when daddy asks you about it, you're not going to lie. You're going to tell the truth. Why? Because lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. But those who deal truthfully are His delight. Boys and girls, you know Mama's told you not to get any candy before supper. She's told you time and time again it'll ruin your supper. But while she wasn't looking, you slipped a piece of candy anyway. Go ahead and decide when Mama asks you about it, you're just going to tell the truth. One reason you ought to tell the truth is because that Jolly Rancher candy already turned your mouth purple anyway. Lying lips, especially when they're purple, are an abomination to the Lord. But those who deal truthfully are His delight. My advice in all these circumstances, just tell the truth. Now, let's be honest, at least with ourselves, if not with one another this morning. We lie for a lot of different reasons. I believe the number one reason we lie is because of our pride and our ego. We want people to think more highly of us than what the truth is. That's why people lie on job applications and claim some experience that they actually don't have. That's why people pad their resume. Did you know that even in church work, one of the things that pastors and church personnel committees have to do these days is double check and make sure that the student minister, that the associate, that the staff member, and even the pastor that's applying for the job actually went to the schools that he claims he graduated from? Lying lips and lying resumes are an abomination to the Lord. But those who deal truthfully are His delight. Somebody told me between services that all liars are not fishermen, but all fishermen are liars. Have you noticed that one of the synonyms for lying is an old fish tale? Every time you tell it, he gets 1 ounce heavier and a half inch longer. We lie because of our pride and our ego. Sometimes we lie because we want to stay out of trouble. We want to protect our reputation. The little girl cries out, somebody hit her. Mama says, son, did you hit your sister? He fears if he tells that he hit his sister, Mama's going to hit him where he sits down. No, Mama. And he lies. The boss asks, how's that project coming? Is it on schedule? It's as far behind schedule as it's ever been, but you lie to try to save your job and protect your reputation. Did you call on that client like I told you to? Did you make that visit like I asked you to do? You say yes when the answer is actually no. The police officer pulls you over and asks if you realize that this is a 35-mile-per-hour zone. You've been living there for 47 years, and yet you look at that police officer and say, what? 35 here on this street? Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. But those who deal truthfully are His delight. Now there are three simple things I want us to consider about the sin of lying and God's commandment to just tell the truth. First of all, we need to think about the commandment, the command against lying. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. The word lying here, like the word false that appears in the Ten Commandments about not bearing false witness, it literally means to pull a fast one, to pull a charade, to pretend. The Arabic form of this word in the Arabic Bible actually uses a word that would describe a forgery. Lips that are a forgery. Lips that are counterfeit. Lips that pretend to be something that they are not. Lips that put on a show. Lips that put on a front. Lips that put up a facade. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Lips that try to present something that's just not true. The Bible has a command against that behavior. Now, the command against lying is threefold at least. First of all, lying is a terrible sin. Brother Mike, why are we talking about this in the summer? Brother Pastor, it's the fifth Sunday of June. All the lying church members are at Daytona. No, they're not. I love the story of the preacher who said, I've got a new series I'm starting next Sunday. I'm going to be preaching several weeks through Mark chapter 17. Go home and read up on Mark 17. Study ahead in Mark 17. The next Sunday he asked, how many of you have been reading and studying in Mark chapter 17? And hands went up all over the building. He said, well, I'm actually preaching on lying. There are only 16 chapters in Mark. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Did you know that some years ago on the TV game show Family Feud, they surveyed 100 people, named the place where more lies are told than anywhere else, and one of the top five answers was church. We lie when we act like we've studied our Sunday school lesson. We lie when we say that we've been reading our Bible. We lie when we say we've been witnessing like a fiery evangelist. We lie sometimes when we sing, I surrender all. Hadn't surrendered much, if anything at all, but we lie. Even in church. And lying is a terrible sin. We have a tendency to rank sins. Some would even have us to believe that all sins are equal. I want you to listen carefully. All sins are not equal according to the Bible. Some sins are indeed worse than others. Don't buy the cockamamie lie of the culture that says, well, all sin is sin, all sin is equal. You don't have to be a theologian to know that a prideful thought is not as bad as raping somebody and murdering them to cover up the sin. All sin is not equal. But brother and sister, if you're making a list of the bad ones, put lying on the bad side of the list. It's so bad, in fact, that when God gave His 10 immutable, unchangeable moral standards, I'm talking about the 10 commandments, He included this one as number 9. In Exodus 20 and verse 16, God commands us, you shall not bear what kind of witness? False witness. Against your neighbor. In a day where people could be put to death on the testimony of two witnesses, God said it's very important that you not bear false witness. In fact, if you bear false witness in the Old Testament, you could yourself be put to death because the lie that you told put someone else's life in jeopardy. In Proverbs 12, verse 19, the Bible says, the lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. You know what that verse means, among other things? A lie may get you out of trouble right now, but it's going to get you in bigger trouble down the road. You know what I have tried to teach my kids and what God is constantly trying to remind me? When you tell the truth, it won't always turn out good. Sometimes when you tell the truth, it'll turn out bad. Because sometimes the truth is bad. And you have to endure the consequences of your misbehavior or your sin. If you did something that warranted getting fired and you tell the truth, you might get fired. Boys and girls, if you did something that deserves a whipping or having your phone taken away for a few days, if you tell the truth, you will have to suffer from that discipline. But I try to teach my children, when you tell the truth, it might not always turn out good, but it will always turn out best. Lying may get you out of trouble in the moment, but the truth will keep you out of trouble in eternity. Lying is a terrible sin. Ephesians 4, 25 says, therefore put away lying and speak every man the truth with his neighbor. Proverbs 13, 5 says that a righteous man hates lying. By the way, a righteous man or woman, a righteous student, a righteous boy or girl hates lying when they get lied to, but they don't hate lies any more than they hate the lies that are coming out of their own mouth.
That's right.
Amen. Lying is a terrible sin. In Revelation 21, verse 8, the Bible says, "As for the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderer, immoral persons, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars, their part shall be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." And then the Revelation puts it even more bluntly in Revelation 22, 15, declaring that everyone who loves and practices lying will be in hell. Now, I'm glad the Bible does not say everybody that's ever told a lie will be in hell. Aren't you glad that's not what it says? But everybody who loves it, lives for it, brags about it, and it's the sum total and practice of your life, the Bible says you're not saved. Those who love and practice lying, the Word of God says, will be in hell. Proverbs 6, verses 16 and 17 says that there are six things that God hates, even seven that are an abomination to the Lord. And in that list of seven, two of them reference the sin of lying: a lying tongue and a false witness that bears and utters lies. The Bible would teach us there's no such thing as a little white lie, any more than there's a little murder, a little adultery, or a tiny little homosexual behavior. Now, the Bible calls it an abomination, and lying is always sin in the first degree. Lying is a terrible sin. But I believe the Bible teaches us also that lying is a triune sin. This past week at student camp, Brother Barry Snapp on Tuesday night taught a tremendous Bible lesson that God is triune and so are you. You ought to go to our podcast and download that sermon, "That God is Triune." A tremendous, tremendous doctrinal and practical message on the fact that God is one in essence but three in person: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Did you know lying violates the character of all three persons of the Godhead? It is not like God the Father, for the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, verse 18, that it is impossible for God to lie. Psalm 119, verse 89 says, "God, your word is established forever in the heavens." The very first thing that Satan attacked about God was God's integrity. Genesis chapter 3, with the temptation of Eve, Satan said, "Yea, hath God said." Eve, you can't really trust what God said. God may not be telling you the truth. The very first thing that Satan used in his temptation was questioning the character and the truthfulness of God the Father. But lying also violates the character of God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember what Jesus said of himself in John 14, 6? "I am the way, the truth, and the life." In John 1, 14, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus was absolutely filled with truth because Jesus was the truth come in human flesh. Often in His teaching ministry, Jesus would begin, especially those hard sayings, the confrontational ones, He would say, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee." Newer translations say, "Truly, truly, I say unto thee." That's just a translation of the Greek word amen. Jesus said, "Amen, amen, I'm telling you." We'd say it like this: "Listen up, guys, because I'm about to preach and I'm going to tell you the truth." Jesus, the Son of God, always told the truth. God the Father always tells the truth. But lying also violates the character of God the Holy Spirit, who, according to John 14, 17, Jesus said, "When He comes, He will be the Spirit of truth." When I lie to someone, I've not only lied to them, I've lied to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Do you remember in Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira wanted to appear as if they'd given some great offering to the early church. And Simon Peter said, "Is that all the money from the sale of the land?" "Yes, sir, that's all the money from the sale of the land." And he said, "Why have you done this thing? You've not lied to men, you've lied to God." Lying is a terrible sin. Lying is a triune sin. But consider, thirdly, lying is a telling sin. Now, I want you to watch how I'm using this word. I do not merely mean that lying is a sin we commit when we tell something. I mean that the lie tells something itself. The lie reveals something about the person that told it. You might say, "Well, that's very telling." Sure is. You see, when a person tells a lie, the lie gets told. The liar gets told on. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord because the lie itself reveals something about the liar that told it. What does it reveal? It reveals you've not got lying lips, you've got a lying heart. Because the Bible says in Matthew 12:34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Very often when people tell lies or curse or swear or use their mouth in some way that doesn't honor God, they think they've got a mouth problem. You don't have a mouth problem. When we use our mouth in an ungodly way, we've got a heart problem. Amen. And the mouth is just a window that allows us and everyone else to peer down into the heart. Well, what does a lie tell about the liar that told the lie? 1 Timothy 1, verses 9 and 10. The law is made for those that are lawless and rebellious, ungodly and sinners, unholy and profane, those who kill their fathers and mothers, for murderers and immoral men and homosexuals and kidnappers and liars and perjurers and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine. Bottom line, brothers and sisters, that's not a list that you ever want to be accused of being in. Lying is a terrible, triune, telling sin. When our oldest child was about 4 years old, Andrea and I decided, she loved listening to Daddy preach. She didn't come in the services at that time, but she loved listening to me preach. We bought a little CD player and we put it in her bedroom, as she said, listening to me preach helped her go to sleep, and some of you know exactly what that's like. So we'd play that CD and of a sermon, and she would go to sleep. Well, one Sunday afternoon, we were eating lunch. Sunday lunch. I mean, we'd been to Sunday school and church, and we're sitting there at lunch, and Michaela said, "Daddy, what does it mean for a man to lie with a man as he would lie with a woman?" I thought, what are they teaching in God's kids? I mean, I'm going to have me a talk today with a preschool teacher. What? Where did you hear that, baby? She said, "From you." "From me?" She said, "Yes, sir, that sermon that I've listened to at night, you say that lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, and the word abomination is the same word God uses when he said, 'A man shall not lie with a man as he lies with a woman, for it is an abomination.'" As I was trying to collect my thoughts and figure how I'm going to answer this question to a preschooler, she said, "Does that mean that we should not lie to a man and we shouldn't lie to a woman either?" I said, "Baby, that's exactly what the Bible teaches. A man shouldn't lie to a man, shouldn't lie to a woman. Adults shouldn't lie to kids. Kids shouldn't lie to adults. Kids shouldn't lie to each other. We shouldn't lie to anybody." That's exactly what the Bible teaches. That is what the Bible teaches, just didn't teach it in that verse she quoted. There is a command against lying. There's a second thing that I think we need to note today, and that is the communication of lies. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. We live in a day of constant communication, and much of that communication is electronic or digital. I'm going to stay with the idea of speech and the use of the tongue, but I think we have to stop for a moment and say, if lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, so are twisted texts, evil emails, foul videos, foul Facebook, insidious Instagram, treacherous tweets. Any communication that we have that communicates anything except the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth is an abomination to the Lord. But staying with the idea of the use of our mouth, I think we communicate lies, first of all, with speech. With speech. This one is the most obvious one. We all know when we've done it, and we've all done it. We find ourselves in a pressure cooker situation. Somebody asks a question, the truth will be embarrassing, and so we open up our mouth and tell a lie. Or we're in a situation where the truth won't make us look very good, but a lie will make us look better. And in a case of one-upmanship, we know when before the words even come to our lips and leave our mouth, we know what we're saying is not the truth, but we say it anyway. And if you're a Christian, the Spirit of God says that was a lie. What you just told was not the truth. You communicated a lie with your speech. When we call in sick, but we're not sick. When you lie about a child's age at a restaurant or a theme park, and you say, well, Disney World's got plenty of money. We are not allowed by the Word of God to steal from rich people or lie to wealthy companies. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. But when we communicate lies with speech, I think that not only involves when we say things that aren't true, but sometimes when we don't say things that are true. I think there is an implicit command here that we need to speak up and tell the truth. In fact, in Ephesians 4, verse 15, the Bible says, speaking the truth in love. When you and I have an opportunity to set the record straight, to bring clarity and light and the full weight of truth. When we don't do that, our silence has contributed to a lie. Now, although this passage and others talks about lying lips, let me be crystal clear. You can lie without moving your lips at all. And sometimes that's one of the best ways to do it. You just exercise the right to remain silent and you let something that you know they believe something that's not the truth, and you silently contribute to deception. A couple of weeks ago, I was at the Southern Baptist Convention. I was about to give a report. And the person introducing me said some very kind things, including introducing me multiple times as Dr. Mike Stone. Well, I don't have a doctorate. I felt compelled to set that record straight. I didn't want to embarrass the man that had just introduced me, so I decided to do it with a joke. I walked to the podium and I said, thank you for those very kind words. It's an honor to be here today. I must, however, acknowledge I am not a doctor. I'm not even a nurse. We can lie, and often do, with our speech. But we can also lie with suggestions. You know people who are real good with this. What they said was technically true. If all you were looking at was black ink on white paper, everything they said was technically true. But they told it for the purpose of making you believe something that was not the truth. You're 20 minutes late for work. You get into Waycross just as the caboose goes over the railroad tracks, costs you about 15 extra seconds. You get to work 20 minutes late, you say, I got stopped by a train. Technically the truth, spiritually a lie. When people ask me, they say, hey, I hear you went to law school. I feel compelled as an act of integrity to say, I went, but I didn't finish. I know well-known preachers who went to seminary for one quarter or one semester. Somebody says, where'd you go to seminary? They say, New Orleans. And they are well satisfied to let the person think that they graduated. Now, what they said was technically true, but again, it was spiritually a lie. The late Adrian Rogers used to tell about being pulled over one night. He was in seminary. pastoring a seminary church, and driving home one Sunday night from the church back to the campus, he got pulled over because his headlight was out. He knew his headlight was out, but he didn't have any money to get it fixed. The officer pulled him over and said, "Sir, your headlight is out." He said, "My headlight is out?" "Yes, sir, your headlight's out. You need to get that fixed. I'm going to give you a warning." He said he hadn't pulled back off the shoulder of the road before the Holy Spirit said, "You just lied to that police officer." "I didn't lie to that police officer. I just asked the question. My headlight is out." We all know what he had done. Calvin Miller is another preacher who says that one day he came home for lunch and didn't want to go back to work, so he told his wife, said, "I'm going to go lay down. I want you to make me a sandwich for lunch. Bring it in there to the bedroom." When she brought the sandwich into the bedroom, he grabbed it off the plate, threw it up to the ceiling fan. It hit the blades of the ceiling fan, went everywhere. He leaned over, called the office, and said, "I'm not going to be back in today. I'm flat on my back in the bed, and I just threw up my lunch." In my high school Spanish class, there was a boy who sat right in front of me, and this was a day where everybody was wearing boots, and in the Spanish class, he took our Spanish textbook and photocopied the vocabulary list off the top of one of the pages and scotch taped it onto the top part of his boot. And during the test, he would raise his leg up and down like this, and it would reveal that vocabulary list. Well, the next day, he got his test back, had a big fat red zero on the top. It said, "Zero, cheating." He protested to the teacher. She said, "I saw you the whole time. You kept looking down in your desk and looking down into your desk," and he saw his loophole. "I never looked in my desk one time. I promise. I swear on a stack of Bibles, I never looked in my desk one time." What he said was technically true. Spiritually, it was a lie. Somebody went up and told Miss Quesada after that encounter that he had had it taped to his boot. Now, I don't know who it was that told on him, but I know that it happened. And if that weren't a joke, if I just said, "I don't know who it was," or, "I can't say who it was," that could be a lie by suggestion. When you go to a courthouse and you're going to testify, they don't just want to hear that what you say is true. What do they ask for? The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. There is a tendency, especially if the truth is not flattering. And by the way, we don't ever have a problem telling the truth when it is flattering. So the temptation to lie is always dealing with an unflattering truth. All of us have a tendency when we tell the story and it's unflattering to us, we just naturally leave out the parts that make us look bad. It's human nature, which is also sin nature. So let us commit today, "Lord, when I tell it, I want to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I don't want to lie with speech. I don't want to lie with suggestions." But then we can lie, thirdly, with slander. We're talking about how we communicate lies. The ninth of the Ten Commandments prohibits the bearing of false witness. And so I ask this series of questions today. When you tell something about somebody else, when you're saying something they said or something they did, my questions are these. Were you there? Did you see it with your own eyes? Did you hear it with your own ears? Were you in the room? Do you know for a fact that's what happened? Because if not, you're presenting yourself as a trustworthy witness about something you really don't know for a fact whether or not that's how it happened. Friends, listen to your pastor this morning. If you were not an eyewitness or an ear witness, you're a false witness. Be sure that you don't communicate lies through slander. If you have a tendency to start your stories by saying, "Now you didn't hear this from me," Well, yes, I did. And if I repeat it, I'm going to tell everybody I heard it from you. Preacher, I don't want my name on this. Well, if you don't want your name on it, I shouldn't want my ear on it. Don't lie with speech, with suggestions. Don't lie with slander. There's a third and final thing, and it's the good news of this message. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but I'm glad the verse doesn't end there, but those who deal faithfully are His delight. Here's the good news. That is the cure for liars. Now, if you have a problem with lying, I don't want you to leave today feeling beat up. I want you to leave today feeling cleaned up and lifted up. Because lying lips reveal a cancer of the soul, but the good news is the great physician is in the house. Dr. Jesus can deal not only with the symptom of the lip, He can deal with the problem of the heart. By the way, He's the best one to deal with it. So if you're here today and somebody in your family, maybe even on your pew, has a problem with lying, can I give you some very serious pastoral advice? They're hearing the same message from God's Word that you're hearing today. You don't have to elbow them. You don't have to nudge them. You don't have to poke them in the leg. Parents, listen to me. Listen to me now. I know there'll be a tendency with parents and child to say, "Did you listen to what Brother Mike said today?" Let the Holy Spirit take the Word of God and do what the Holy Spirit does with the Word of God. He, the Holy Ghost of heaven, can do more in a split second than what nagging can do. We ought to all say, this message is for me. There is a cure for liars and for the lies that liars tell. What is that cure? I think one of these cures ought to fit everybody in the room today. Number one, somebody needs the cure of salvation for your soul. Do you know why liars lie? That you're not a liar because you lie. Liars lie because they're liars. The problem is down in the heart. And I want to say this very bluntly, but I'm going to show it to you in the Word of God. If you have a problem with lying, I'm talking about constantly, consistently, regularly lying, those who know you best say, "I wouldn't trust a word she says." Those who know you the closest say, "Don't believe a word he says." I'm telling you, he'll soon lie to you as look at you. You know anybody like that? If that's you, you're probably lost and on your way to hell. If you are known as a liar, you are probably not known by God. I'm grateful the Bible does not say that if you've ever told a lie, even since your salvation, that means you're not saved. Amen. But I will tell you, if you habitually, consistently, constantly say things that are not true, it reveals that your heart has not been converted by God. Now, I'm too nice to say it that bluntly, so let me just tell you what the Bible says on the subject. In 1 John chapter 3, I'm going to show you verses 6 and 9. No one who abides in Him, that's in reference to Jesus Christ. Look at this. Nobody that's in a saving, converting, sin-forgiving, life-transforming relationship with Jesus. No one who abides in Him practices sin. By the way, this sin or any other sin. And no one who practices sin has either seen Jesus or knows Jesus. And no one who is born of God. Would you say the word born? No one who is born of God practices sin because his, that is God's seed. Would you say the word seed? His seed abides in him. John is using the language of being born again. He's really using biological language. He's using the analogy of reproduction. We would use the Bible word regeneration. You've been born again. And for everybody able to understand reproduction, he's saying if you've been born again of God, if you've been, as the old hymn writer said, born of the Spirit with life from above into God's family divine, if you've had the experience Jesus talks about in John chapter 3 where he tells Nicodemus, if you want to inherit the kingdom of God, you must be born again. You see, the first time you were born into sin, you were born into Adam's race. That is not good enough to get you into heaven. That will get you to the earth, but it won't get you into heaven. Jesus said something on the inside of you has to be radically transformed by the regenerating, rebirthing power of Almighty God. And John borrows from that Bible truth and says nobody who has experienced that, nobody that has been born again can constantly practice sin. Why? Because the seed of God Himself has been implanted into you. That which is the reproductive contribution of the Father. A seed has been implanted into the womb of your soul, and you have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. What I'm trying to say is, the Bible says that if you've genuinely been saved, you can't keep doing what you used to do because you're not what you used to be. You can't live like you used to live, cuss like you used to cuss, bed hop like you used to bed hop. You can't lie like you used to lie before you got saved because you're not the liar you used to be. Because if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Jesus uses this same born again DNA analogy when he describes the problem of lying. In John 8 verse 44, the Savior put it this way. Satan does not stand in the truth because the truth is not in him. And whenever he, the devil, speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature because he is a liar and the father of all lies. Now, I've been serious as I could be for the last few moments, but let me get more serious still. You are never more like the devil. We are never more like the devil. I am never more like the devil than when you and I and we lie. And the reason your mouth may lie like the devil may very well be because your heart still belongs to the devil. Someone in this building this morning, the reason that you lie is ultimately because you don't know the Lord. And you will never have honest lips until your heart is washed clean from your sin by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, what's the cure for liars? Same cure for all other sin. Jesus, I'm a sinner. You're the Savior. I cannot save myself. I need you to save me. I believe you died on the cross for my sin. You were bodily raised from the dead. And Lord, today I turn from my sin. And for you, it might not even be the sin of lying. But God, today I turn from my sin and I turn to Jesus Christ. And the good news is, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can be forgiven today. You can be cleansed. You can be cured from the sin of lying and every other sin that easily besets you. What is that cure? For some, it's salvation in your soul. For others, there's a second cure, and that is sanctification by the Scriptures. The psalmist put it this way, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not, what? Sin against you. The Bible, speaking of itself in Hebrews 4:12, says that the word of God is quick and powerful. That is, it is living. It's a vibrant, it's an active thing. If you are a Christian and you've got the Word of God in your heart, you've tried to memorize God's Word, listen, beloved, you've got something living down on the inside of you. And if you are one of God's children, that occasionally succumbs to the temptation to lie, what I would encourage you to do is take the pastor's challenge and during the month of July, commit Proverbs 12:22 to your memory. Hide it in your heart. And I'll tell you, I promise you what will happen. You'll find yourself not many days from now. I don't care if you're a little boy or a little girl or a senior adult. It won't be long from now you'll be in a situation where it will temporarily help you to tell a lie. And the Spirit of God and the Word of God will well up in your heart, and in a nanosecond of God's convicting grace will say, tell the truth. Don't tell that lie. Because lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. But those who deal truthfully are His delight. Don't try to get out of trouble in this situation only to get in trouble with God. Just tell the truth. And some of you have done this and you've experienced it. Everything that took me about 2 minutes to say, the Spirit of God can do like that. And He brings the Word of God back to our remembrance. We've hidden it in our heart that we might not sin against God. If you've got a problem telling lies, this would be a great challenge for you to accept. And I promise you, it's a wonderful one for us to teach to our children. Yes. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are His delight. There's one last part of this cure. Some today need salvation in the soul. Some need sanctification by the Scriptures. We all need submission to the Savior. We just got to get lined up with the authority of the Word of God. Last Sunday night in this pulpit, Pastor Johnny Hunt was here, and one of the things that he said, he quoted from the book of James, chapter 4. And he said that he believed that this verse is the most misused, misquoted, and misapplied of all verses in the Bible. It's James chapter 4 and verse 7, where the Bible tells us that we are to submit ourselves, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Do you know why some of us don't find spiritual victory in the spiritual battle we talked about earlier today in Sunday school? You know why some of us don't find spiritual victory? Because we're skipping the first half of the verse. The Bible does not merely say, resist the devil and he will flee from you. I don't mean to hurt your feelings, but if I'm talking to the best Christian in the room, I'm going to tell you the same thing, and here it is. The devil ain't scared of you.
Amen. That's right.
He's not afraid of you. So you say, I'm going to quit lying, or I'm going to quit doing whatever sin is in your life. You say, I'm going to stop. I'm going to square my shoulders and bow my back. I'm going to jut my jaw. Take that, devil. He's not afraid of that. And I'll prove it to you. How's that been working for you? He's not afraid of that. But let me tell you what he is afraid of. Let me tell you what will cause him to flee. I'm submitting myself, therefore, to God. Brother Lynn, come here just a minute. You're old enough that in this illustration you can represent God. Stand right there just a minute. Now, in this illustration, Brother Lynn represents God. Y'all can laugh, but y'all represent the devil. I'm the Christian, and I'm facing the devil, but I'm facing him alone. And I can do my very best, and I mean, I can try to bow up and look as big as I possibly can. He's not afraid of that. He is not scared merely by me resisting him. But let me tell you what will cause him to tuck tail and run. When I come over here and I grab hands with my Father, and I say, I didn't come by myself. I'm here with Him. I'm submitting myself to the Lord. And now you know what the devil does? He's going to tuck his pointy tail between his nasty lying legs, and he is going to run like a scalded dog. Thank you, Lord. On my own, my flesh is not bothered by lying. On my own, my flesh is not troubled when I don't tell the truth. In fact, my flesh likes it because it gets me out of a bind in the moment. But brothers and sisters, when I'm walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit and my life and my heart are submitted to God, I don't want to promote the self. I don't want to protect the self. Because when I'm full of the Spirit, here's what my soul realizes. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. But those who deal truthfully are His delight.
You've been listening to The Emmanuel Pulpit, the broadcast ministry of Pastor Mike Stone, Senior Pastor of Emmanuel Baptist Church in Blackshear, Georgia. With confidence in the authority and sufficiency of the Word of God, Pastor Mike is committed to walking you verse by verse through books of the Bible. We pray this message has been an encouragement to you as you seek to learn and live the Word of God. Free audio downloads of this message, as well as general contact information, are available through our website at ebchurch.net. Thanks for joining us for today's message from the Emmanuel Pulpit.